Hello, everybody. I'm Kenneth Copeland. This is Dr. Mike Evans, and this is the whole KCPC group. Praise God. Yes! I became a new believer in 1992 and also a partner. The teachings, well, thank you for becoming a partner. And remember now, hey, we're believing for 1 million partners right here in the United States before the end of this year. I was doing television, and Gloria and I were together. It's in the fourth chapter of the book of Ephesians. And he said, you'll be the biggest Holy Ghost gang on the planet. Well, then the Lord dealt with me about 18 months ago. He said, it's time, and you start believing for it, because I want this to be part of the endowment of Kenneth Copeland University. Praise God. We're partners. I became a believer in 1992 and also a partner. The teachings from Kenneth and Gloria have ingrained in me now to live the way God wants us to. That's what it's all about. The words that I heard on the broadcast mirrored the words in the Bible. I grew a strong foundation from reading the Bible and watching the Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast. Most churches I have attended over the years don't teach as deeply as KCM. And I love the quote, meat and potatoes. I heard it like that. The meat and potatoes teaching from KCM. I appreciate you both. You've become my spiritual parents. I am so grateful that you followed the path God had for you. I met Gloria in person. She laid hands on me in 1995 for healing for a pregnancy, which, by the way, turned out to be a miracle baby. Thank you so much for not only speaking the word to me, but helping me understand it. K.S. from Idaho. Praise God. Isn't that wonderful? Now, be very, very careful about, we were talking earlier, before, that, being a singer, I asked Pat, and all of us do this, particularly those that plan to make a living with it. You sit down, and you try to sing like this when you try to sing like that, and Bing Crosby, boom, 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 you know. And the Western singers, and whoever it was. Sammy Davis Jr. is the best I ever heard in my life. The Frank Sinatra Show was in black and white, and he would step from spot to spot with his hat on and his trench coat and singing his, I think it was Night and Day was his signature song, something like that. And got down there, and Frank Sinatra was standing there, and it's Sammy Davis Jr. But listen to what he said. I imitated others so long, it was hard for me to find my own voice. Don't imitate me. Don't imitate Pastor George, Terry, Mike. No. What am I saying? Don't say Brother Copeland said, well, that's all right under these conditions. Here's what Brother Copeland said about the Bible.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And Brother Hagin knows of it. I know of some that followed good preaching. Good preaching. Followed that person in that good preaching. Good preaching. But the same spirit that was in that preacher's life got in them. Mm. And in one case I'm thinking about, you don't even hear from him anymore. So that's the point of what I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Now, generational curses. There's really no such thing as a generational curse. Because when a devil gets into a family and nobody deals with it, the devil stays there generation after generation after generation.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's, and Jerry Savelle talked about that.
Yeah.
And others have. But when you look back on it, these are our generations. Mm. This. We conform to this. And I was with Brother Roberts, and we were having lunch together. And we walked into there, and he said, he just sat down. He said, Kenneth, take your shoes off and sit down here. Gloria, take your shoes off and sit down here. Evelyn, she said, Oral, I am not taking off my shoes. Oral Roberts, my father in the spirit said, he looked at me and said, teach me faith. I said, sir, you've got to be kidding. He said, you boys have learned something I don't know. Well, I just went to Mark 11, 23, 24, and 25. He said, now read that again. And so I did. He said, it's the saying part. That's what Brother Hagin said.
Yeah.
Now here's an evangelist. He said, it's the saying part. Now here's what he said. And I agree with it wholeheartedly. He said, the first time I preach this, I'm going to say this. Now, Brother Copeland read this scripture from the Gospel of Mark. And I really do appreciate that. Then he said, I'm going to say, someone approached me with this. And then from and then on, he said, now I'm going to tell you, he said, after that, you're on your own, brother. But he said, you're looking at the hungriest men for God on this planet. I don't attempt to sound like Oral Roberts. I did because I was listening to him night and day.
Yeah.
I didn't try to.
It's true, yeah.
Well, then I was listening to Brother Hagin night and day and day and night and day and night. I didn't attempt to sound like him. I'm a mimic. I could on purpose. I didn't try to. But I would preach what he preached, and it would sound like coming from him. But then after a while, I remember the sound of his voice. I still listen to it. But now, and I'm teaching you this, don't try to preach it like me. You take the scriptures and study them and work with them. Work with them.
Yeah.
Work with them.
Yeah.
And then in your own heart, most people don't know what they sound like. They have to listen to themselves on a tape recorder or something. Do I sound like that? But you forget about what I sound like, anybody else. And hear your own voice. And as you begin to teach it and preach it, then the Lord, by the Spirit of God, will bring revelation to you about that, and it'll begin to flow out of you, and then you own it. Amen. Glory to God.
Glory to God.
Now, on what the Lord has directed us to do on this, on today, today and tomorrow, let's go to the Gospel of John. And we look in the 16th chapter. Now remember we began with God has a plan? Remember that? Okay, are you there? All right. And he's talking about the Holy Spirit all the way through, the Comforter, all the way. Then
What verse are you in?
I'm in the 16th chapter.
Yeah, but
no, wait a minute. It'll go over here into the 17th,
right?
Depending on where your Bible is. I want to start with John 16:13. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all the truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. And he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me. See here? He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. Now listen, class. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore said I, the Holy Spirit, he will take of mine and show it unto you, things to come.
Yeah.
I can find some of that out in the book of Revelation.
Yeah.
But things to come for me.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now here I need to go to the book of Joshua and I need to meditate on that. Now what does that mean? And what is it in this ministry, in my life, in Gloria's life, our children? What is the most important thing? What's the most important thing for the nation? And you begin to meditate on it and you begin to pray in the Spirit and then you just listen, hear, and the things, and it'll start coming. It'll start coming. I keep a little legal pad right by my bed at all times, right there. And things come, I have a little flashlight there that they keep right next to my bed, and a little pen. And I'll flip that little light on, and I'll write it down, the scripture down. I don't want to lose that. I don't want to lose that. I wish I could remember what that. No, don't do that. I've done that. Just have it right there by your bed or where you keep it. Jot it down. Whatever the Lord said. And then go on to sleep and then start meditating and searching it out.
You know, one of the smartest men on the planet, his name is Israel Amman. He sits in Albert Einstein's chair at Hebrew University.
Oh,
he's a Nobel Peace Prize winner and the founder of the Game Theory Society. There's a movie called Nathan, A Beautiful Mind. That was one of his students. Well, I met with Israel Amman. He said something to me profound. He said to me, thoughts come before emotions. You cannot emote until you have a thought.
That's right.
And he's a mathematician. I prayed. I said, Holy Spirit, I flunked algebra. I don't want to embarrass myself with this man. Help me, Lord, help me. He only gave me 15 minutes. And he said, your time is up. I said, well, can I ask you just one more question? I said, you're a man of faith and a man of science. How do those two abide? He said, I don't have time to answer that. He said, I gave a lecture on that in Oslo when I won the Nobel Peace Prize, but I couldn't pull up the lecture and I couldn't even remember exactly what it was. But let me walk you to the door. He's walking me to the door, and I mumbled the word 2029. He said, stop. You said 2029. I said, it was just jet lag. No, it wasn't. You said two words, 2029. He said, come back in here. What if my lecture began on the top of the 20th page and ended on the bottom of the 29th page? My smartest student couldn't calculate that. I couldn't even calculate that. He calls Oslo, pulls up the computers. He says to his secretary, the PA, cancel all my morning meetings. I need to spend all morning with Mike. He said, he has calculated something that I could not figure out. I said, Mr. Amman, I don't know anything about mathematics. He said, I know that. But there's a brand new field of science that I need to start exploring. How the cerebral mind and the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit, can activate the cerebral mind. He said the Holy Spirit activated your cerebral mind and gave you 2029, my smartest student could have come up with that. And that's the power of the Word of God.
Yes, it is.
Where it can take, you know, someone said to me back in, before this meeting, he said, how many books? I said, 120. I said, but I've never taken a course in writing. But I wrote 9 books one year. I wrote one book in 7 days. She said to me, well, what is that book? I said, oh, it's just a number one New York Times bestseller. Well, how do you do that? Right here.
Yes.
Right here. I want to ask you a question, and you that are watching on television, what's the thing you think about before you go to sleep? Mm-hmm. What do you think about before you go to sleep? And what's the first thing you think about when you wake up? The ungodly lay in their bed, and they think about fear. They digest it. It comes up, and it goes down like acid reflux. Well, if you start meditating on the Word of God in that bed and start getting that in your spirit, it will activate. The Spirit of God will activate the cerebral mind, and all of a sudden the engine of God starts moving and starts building in your life rather than breaking down. It starts building it. So you meditate on the Word of God. You say, oh, great, this is wonderful. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the godly, stand in the way of sinners, sits his foot. His delight is the law, Word of God. On his law does he meditate, Word of God, day and night. And so you start meditating on the promises of God, and it fires up the engine of God, like happened with me, with Israel Oman.
Yeah.
I couldn't have done it. I see a book. I can visualize a book and see it, and write it like the wind, because the Spirit of God will activate the Word of God, and it creates things.
I wrote the first book, The Laws of Prosperity. I got in the airplane, I flew to in Oklahoma, Ardmore, checked into the hotel. To write, I just needed to get away from everybody to write it.
Yeah.
And where it'd just be totally quiet. And I wrote the book, The Laws of Prosperity.
Hmm.
Well, the original of those were 15 volumes.
Wow.
Broken down to, anyway. And I wrote it, and just by hand, just wrote it all down on a legal pad and put it all together. And then I made some edits on it and so forth. I wrote it in less time than it takes to read it.
Yeah.
I went back and tried to read it I could not read it in the same length of time that I wrote it.
Yeah.
It was impossible.
Yeah.
I couldn't do it.
The Spirit
I tried and tried and tried. But it just rose up out of my scripture, my being one scripture right after another, right after another, right after another, because I had studied the laws of prosperity in the secular world.
Mm.
And the great Johns, Henry Ford, Walter P. Chrysler, Thomas Edison, Andrew Carnegie, and so forth. And they call what they call the master mind. Well, actually, it was a master's mind.
Yeah.
And they began to take this thing into the automobile world.
Mm.
That we're in competition with one another because we don't like one another. But if you'd rather have one of our cars than yours, then good. But that didn't last all that long. They finally got in such competition with one another that they lost it in this country because it came down to where they were building cars in this country that had a built-in wearing it out so you'd want to buy or overhaul more quickly. And after the war, who took the American car market? Japan.
Yeah.
Because they came and they looked at Henry Ford's assembly line, and they said, no wonder these people could do more than we did because of this assembly line. So we take what he took and got away from the American way of trying to make it wear out early so that it would never wear out.
And Germany.
Yes, absolutely. Same thing.
We crushed them like a bug, and they came back and...
They wanted to know why. Hey, why did this happen? And then they saw it. Ours were so complicated. And by the time we built one, you built 10. Mm. And the airplanes and so forth. And literally, our industrial might really won World War II. Not only that, because it was right, but the fact that the enemies of the nation, now we were talking about Rome. Well, Mussolini wanted to resurrect the Roman Empire.
Right.
Yeah, it's the same demons and the same devils.
Yeah.
So, and all of that. Well, after that, Italy and Czechoslovakia made some cars nobody would steal. You could park them on the street with the keys in them. Nobody, just get it out of my yard. It's so bad. So it brought this nation back to quality. Germany went back to quality. England went back to quality, except for people that want an electric car. Well, that's fine, but in some cases they're very dangerous. I won't go into all that, but people know that they are. But in a proper case, that's good. My point is this. This is an excellent book. Excellency. The excellence of life, the excellence of decision, the excellence of what you believe and what you think. Jesus said, why take you thought saying? You don't take it till you say it.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you can't fight thoughts with thoughts. You cannot renew your mind in Romans 12 with thoughts.
Yeah. Yeah.
You have to then take this word, think it, and say it.
Yeah.
Take this word, think it, and say it.
Yeah.
Think this word and think it and say it until then you say it by faith.
Mm-hmm.
It's simple.
And you see it.
Yes.
You say it and you see it.
You begin to see it.
Yeah.
So that's the reason the scripture says all is well in the household of faith. But then, in the book of Galatians, you go in there and you find out what that is.
Yeah.
It's a household full of the fruit of the Spirit, against which there is no law.
Yeah.
And that produces holiness.
That's beautiful.
Oh, we're out of time. Don't wave that 30-second thing at me. We'll be back in just a moment.
Awaken your calling at Kenneth Copeland Bible College. Come to a deeper revelation of who you are in Christ while being equipped with practical tools for excellence in ministry. Develop your faith alongside a strong, spirit-filled community that will last a lifetime.
The biggest thing is just being able to really experience God and Him being able to use the education here to help grow you and grow you a lot.
Take the next step. Go to kcbiblecollege.org and apply today.
Welcome to KCM.org, your study center for victory. Click Start Here to unlock answers on where to begin your faith journey. You'll find links to our most popular content and an overview of what KCM.org can do for you. Start there and don't stop exploring. Find a Bible-believing church home with the Find a Church feature. At KCM.org, we want to answer your questions, encourage you daily, and help lead you on the path to victory in your family, finances, emotional, and physical health. With things to watch, read, pray, and speak, KCM.org meets you where you are.
God is in control. This isn't just some phrase that we throw around carelessly. It's the truth that will make you free. Life can feel hectic and overwhelming sometimes. Fear and worry can easily creep in. But how many times have we heard the phrase, fear not? God is not distant. He is right here with us, waiting for us to take that step and trust him. And this series by Kenneth Copeland will show you how. In this four-part series, Kenneth Copeland teaches how people of faith should react to the things of the world. It explains what it means to truly walk in confidence, knowing that God has your back. This is a life-changing message that helps you to walk in the kind of peace that surpasses all understanding. Get this audio series now. You can call the number on your screen or visit our website for your copy today. This is something you can conquer. This is something that you can overcome. Take your first steps towards a fear-free life today. Request God is in Control free on our website, kcm.org/TV special. This teaching by Kenneth Copeland is available as an MP3 disc or as a digital download. God wants you to be in peace even in the midst of trouble. Learn to put your trust in his love for you and live free from fear, knowing that God has a situation in his control. This free offer is good for 30 days.
This is the one thing that I look forward to every year is coming here to be immersed in the Word.
You can never trade this for anything else. You know, I just wish this would be the life that we live every single day. You just wake up, come to be in the presence of the Lord.
You can get the principles of the Word on TV and it's exciting, but when you're gathered together with thousands of people and experience it in the presence of God, it's totally different with being in person.
I want you to always remember this. My spiritual father, Oral Roberts, said this, and then the more I think about it, well, it's very obvious. Most, if not all, Christians, I'm talking about serious Christians, failure is a prayer failure. What do I pray here? How do I pray that? Is it intercession? Is it praise? Is it worship? Is it dedication? And you can't just preach the word of faith all the time. But without faith, it doesn't work.
Yeah.
Always remember that praise. We'll see you tomorrow. Until then, Kenneth Copeland, Mike Evans, and the KCBC class reminding you that God loves you, and we love you, and Jesus is Lord.
Kenneth Copeland calls KCM.org your study center. You can watch, read, and share faith-based content and teaching resources available to you free.